And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Measure of Freedom, was written by Mark Siegel and is presented in commemoration of the Festival of Shavuot, the anniversary of the giving of the law.
The gifts of God to man are many, and they are free. The wide seas and the broad lands, the endless firmament and the warm sun shining its benediction on us, all these and the delicate senses to encompass them are given freely. But for one gift, the precious gift of freedom, man must yield something in exchange. It is a curious price which must be paid for freedom. The price? A measure of freedom itself. How much must a man yield of himself that all may be free? Does the question puzzle you in your time? In mine, more than 1,800 years ago, at the Academy of Yabne, where I was a young scholar, the elders of Judea studied and debated, searching always for the exact degree of authority which keeps men free.
Rabbi Joshua, I disagree.
It is your right to, Rabbi Eliezer.
The law was handed down to us. It must be observed literally, in its original form.
All laws are subject to interpretation, Rabbi Eliezer.
There can be only one law, Joshua. Clear, uncompromising, unchanging.
Eliezer, what is the purpose of law?
Now, come, Joshua, I know your way of arguing. The question is too simple.
Nonetheless, I ask it.
Well, its purpose is order, that men may live together.
Yes, but does it not have a more positive purpose, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? Is not the law to bring men together?
The law, in its original form, does just that, Joshua.
Even when times change, when conditions change?
Times may change, but the law is immutable.
Only if it is flexible.
A law is a law.
No, Eliezer, no. The law is like a tree. It must be rooted firmly in justice. But it is the freedom of the tree which protects it. The only trees that break are those that do not bend.
An old argument, even in my time. The controversy raged throughout Judea. On the one side were the followers of Shammai. On the other, those who followed the school of Hillel. The newly elevated patriarch, Rabbi Gamaliel, pondered the problem and on a summer day summoned the leaders of the learned assembly to his garden.
Welcome, my sons. I would take counsel with you.
We are honored, Rabbi Gamaliel.
Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Joshua, the Roman legions occupy our land, yet within the house of Israel there is dissension.
The rivalry of scholars advances truth, Rabban.
In its proper season, Joshua ben Hananiah.
Is there a proper season for truth, Rabban Gamaliel?
All seasons are proper for truth, Eliezer. But there are times when men must strive for unity to survive.
And how shall men know those times?
When the common good is threatened, Joshua. As it is now.
Master, I do not question our need for unity.
Nor do I, Rabban Gamaliel.
But?
But In the search for unity, I counsel caution.
I agree with Eliezer.
Well, surely you do not question my motives, Joshua?
Forgive me, my tongue speaks only from a fear that freedom may be curbed.
Dispel your fears, Joshua. What I propose to do, I shall do not to limit freedom, but to enlarge it.
What is it you propose, Rabban Gamaliel?
To strengthen the power of the patriarch. To bring together the house of Israel with a strong hand, that it may be one.
It is not your right.
It is my responsibility, Eliezer. Our responsibility.
I will oppose you, Rabban.
Oh? I'm sorry, Eliezer. I had counted on your support in the assembly.
On this question, Rabban, I cannot with good conscience give it.
And you, Joshua?
You shall have my support.
Without limitations, Joshua?
With one limitation, Rabban Gamaliel. The limitation shall be the welfare of our people.
Who knocks?
It is I, Rabbi Joshua. Akiva ben Joseph.
Akiva, what brings you here so early?
There is news from the assembly. Important news, Master.
What news, Akiva?
A proclamation.
From the patriarch?
From Gamaliel himself.
Oh. What is its burden, Akiva?
Henceforth, in the assembly, the views of Hillel shall prevail.
And the views of the school of Shammai?
They shall be justifiable, in principle, but not in practice.
I see. Akiva, how does Eliezer ben Hyrcanus take the decision? Do you know?
Badly, Master. He prepares to fight it.
To fight it? Akiva, let us not tarry. I must consult at once with Rabbi Eliezer.
But, Joshua, can I not make it plain to you? He has taken this step without so much as one word to the elders.
Eliezer, he made his course of action clear to us.
He has overstepped his authority.
Eliezer, I do not approve of his method. No more than you do.
Then fight it. Together.
But why?
I know you well, Joshua. The decision to follow the views of Hillel favors you rather than me. Yet...
Had he ruled in your favor, I would also counsel acceptance.
Joshua, do you not see the danger?
I see it, yet I will risk it for the sake of unity.
Tyranny can hide behind the mask of unity.
Tyranny? Surely you do not think that Rabban Gamaliel...
You are more trusting, far more trusting than I am, Joshua.
You distrust Gamaliel? Eliezer, he is your brother-in-law.
Were he my brother on this matter, I would oppose him.
He acts for the good of the community.
At this moment, perhaps. Eventually, no.
Rabbi, I beg you not to create further discord.
The precedent is too dangerous to allow it to pass unchallenged.
Eliezer, were it another man, perhaps I would agree, but Gamaliel has only good in his heart.
Joshua, in all Israel, no scholar is your equal. But there is a truth which prevails in the affairs of men which your own goodness will not let you recognize. Power, unchecked, feeds upon itself.
The months pass, and the patriarch Gamaliel handed down decision after decision at the academy. Each fought bitterly by Rabbi Eliezer. And once again, Akiva ben Joseph brought important news to Rabbi Joshua.
Joshua! The patriarch has expelled Eliezer from the assembly.
Akiva, it is not possible.
Master, he has placed him under a ban. None may converse nor study with him.
I had hoped this would have been avoided, Akiva.
Oh, it is an evil day, Joshua.
Yet the assembly grows strong. Rulings are now recognized by all Judea.
Joshua, you defend this arbitrary action.
I do not defend it, but I will not dispute it.
Master, forgive me, but I...
Let us be patient, Akiva.
Patient? Until all of us are expelled from the assembly? How long shall we be patient?
How long, Akiva? Though it be painful, as long as the patriarch serves the greater good of our people.
The patience of Rabbi Joshua was soon to be tested. On the 29th of each month, the patriarch and the leading elders met to fix the calendar for all Israel.
Let the witnesses of the new moon be called.
The witnesses of the new moon.
Witnessed, what is your report?
Your Honor, on the morning of the proper day, we saw the moon in the eastern heaven.
Its shape?
A sickle, Your Honor.
Rabban Gamaliel.
Yes, Joshua?
May I address a question to the witness?
You will wait until I have concluded, Joshua.
Yes, Rabban Gamaliel.
Witness, when evening came, in what part of the heavens was the moon?
In the west, Your Honor.
But that isn't possible, Rabban Gamaliel. My calculations show
we proclaim the new moon by observation, not by calculation.
Still, it is not possible.
Do you question the authority of this court, Joshua?
I question the reliability of the witnesses.
I do not. The new moon of the month of Tishri is hereby proclaimed.
Now, Rabban Gamaliel, with all due respect...
Yes?
I believe the court is in error.
The court has spoken.
My calculations show the new moon will not appear for another 2 days.
The new moon has been proclaimed.
Without full questioning of the witnesses...
Enough, Joshua! There have been too many attacks on the integrity of this court already.
But to proclaim the new moon on the wrong day...
What would you have me do? Set the calendar differently for each opinion?
I ask only that it be set correctly.
Your comment borders on contempt.
I did not mean it, sir.
You force me to punish you, Joshua.
To punish me? For what?
For challenging the court. By your reckoning, your tablets and your computations, when does the Day of Atonement fall?
12 days hence, Rabban Gamaliel.
All Israel will observe the day on the 10th of Tishri, as I have proclaimed it.
Yes.
No man shall travel, nor carry money, nor work in the fields. But listen closely.
I am listening, Rabban Gamaliel.
On the 12th day of Tishri, on the day you contend is the Day of Atonement.
Yes, Rabban.
On that day, you will appear before this court, dressed in the garb of a traveler, your staff in hand, and your wallet filled with money.
How much of himself must a man yield that all may be free? Rabbi Joshua struggled with his soul, torn between doubt and pride, and we of the academy waited tensely for the 12th day of Tishri.
Rabban Gamaliel, I am here.
The patriarch rose. Stepped down from the seat of judgment. He walked to where Rabbi Joshua stood, dressed in the garb of the traveler, and he kissed Rabbi Joshua on the forehead.
Enter in peace, Joshua.
Peace be with you, Rabban Gamaliel.
You have understood that I do not humble you as a man, but that it is for a principle.
I have understood, Master.
Do not call me Master Joshua. For you are my master, in learning and in greatness of spirit.
It is not so. Were our positions reversed, would you not yield to me?
Rabban Gamaliel, the patriarch, was a great man. And what he did for a purpose. The scholars followed the example of Rabbi Joshua and yielded to Rabban Gamaliel in the months that followed. And yet we were uneasy, knowing that somewhere the boundary line between freedom and authority would have to be drawn. I did not know that I, an unimportant scholar, would provide the occasion.
What is your question, Samuel?
Joshua, it is customary to pray 3 times each day, in the morning, late afternoon, and evening.
So it is, my son.
There is a question of interpretation. Is the evening prayer obligatory or optional?
I have considered the question before, Samuel. It is my opinion that the evening prayer is optional.
But Rabban Gamaliel, I have put the same question to Rabbi Joshua.
And he has told you the evening prayer is optional?
That is his opinion, Master.
It is obligatory.
Rabban Gamaliel,
If there is a difference in interpretation,
yes,
would it not be well to put the question to the assembly?
Ah, I see. We've reached the point where a scholar instructs the patriarch. Oh,
forgive me, master. I wished only...
You are dismissed.
Yes, master.
No, wait, Samuel.
Yes, master?
I've reconsidered. You are right, my son. I will place the question before the assembly. When the rabbis and disciples convene, you will rise and ask your question.
Thank you, Rabbi Gamaliel.
Oh, it is I who should thank you, my son.
For what reason, master?
Well, you will see, Samuel, when the assembly gathers.
Elders and disciples of the academy, let there be silence.
The scholar Samuel wishes to be heard.
I place a question before the academy. Is the evening prayer obligatory or optional?
As president of the assembly, I rule that it is compulsory.
Is there anyone who disputes this?
Joshua, is this not the time to challenge him?
Akiva, let us be patient.
Rabbi Joshua!
Yes, master.
Come forward, Rabbi Joshua.
I am coming.
Joshua ben Hananiah, do you dispute the ruling?
I do not dispute it.
Oh, I've had reports to the contrary.
I disagree with the ruling, but I do not dispute your right to make it. I believe...
I do not ask what you believe, Joshua.
Master.
Rabbi Joshua,
I ask you to stand in the box of the accused.
Stand, that testimony may be brought against you.
I have committed no crime, Rabban Gamaliel.
Do you deny saying to the scholar Samuel that the evening prayer is optional?
I deny nothing.
Then you admit your guilt.
I did no more than express an opinion. Is an opinion a crime?
When it undermines the authority of the academy, yes.
I have never opposed your authority. I have strengthened it.
Yet a simple scholar questions the patriarch.
He does not question Rabban Gamaliel. He inquires.
It is the same.
It is by no means the same.
Rabban Gamaliel! Rabban Gamaliel!
Yes, I hear you, Akiva ben Joseph.
Master, I ask permission to address the academy.
On what matter, Akiva?
On a matter of grave import to Israel.
Is it to defend Rabbi Joshua that you wish to speak?
That is my purpose.
I deny the permission.
In the name of justice, I ask to be heard.
The request is not in order.
Rabban Gamaliel, you draw your authority from the members of the academy. The authority bestowed can be withdrawn.
I will not be threatened, Akiva. The assembly is dismissed.
No, let
Akiva be heard.
So be it. Well, speak, Akiva.
Elders of Israel, scholars of the academy, the patriarch is placed at the head of the nation that he may serve the common will. I submit that Rabban Gamaliel no longer served that will. I call for the impeachment of the patriarch.
What I have done only that Israel may be strong.
There is a place where strength becomes weakness, Rabban.
Why have you humbled Rabbi Joshua?
Elders of Israel, these times are troubled. There must be but one voice that speaks for our people.
But it must speak with the consent of the people.
That's right.
What would you have me do?
Step down, Rabban Gamaliel. Let another wear the cloak of the patriarch.
Very well. If it is the will of the assembly, I shall step down.
Let Rabbi Joshua be elevated to the presidency.
Joshua, will you accept?
No, Akiva. It is not seemly.
But, Joshua, you are the superior of all in scholarship.
Akiva, I am a party to this dispute, as are you. Scholars of Israel, let us place one of our number in the presidency who is wise, yet not dominant.
Well, who shall be named, Eli?
Let us appoint Eliezer ben Azariah.
Eliezer ben Azariah? Why, he's the youngest member of the academy.
Let us appoint him even so.
Well, Rabbi Joshua, Eliezer ben Azariah is only 18 years old.
Yet, if the academy wills it, an 18-year-old can be the patriarch.
Members of the academy, you have heard Rabbi Joshua. Shall Eliezer ben Azariah be elevated?
Let him be elevated.
Are we agreed?
We're agreed.
So be it. Eliezer. shalt preside.
Rabban Gamaliel, will you accept the decision of the assembly?
It is not easy, Joshua. Yet I will accept it. And I will not withdraw from the academy. Joshua, I come to ask your forgiveness.
Who am I to forgive you, Rabban Gamaliel?
I have sinned against you.
No, not against me. Against our heritage of freedom.
And I sought only to preserve that heritage, Joshua.
It is possible to do the wrong things for the right reasons.
Yes, I have learned that, Joshua.
In your heart, Rabban Gamaliel.
In my heart, Joshua.
Then I forgive you, Master. And so, in time to come, shall all Israel.
So it was that when the assembly convened again, Rabbi Joshua ben Hananiah, he who had been wronged and humiliated by Rabban Gamaliel, rose to speak in his favor.
Rabbis and scholars, it is written that he who curbs his wrath merits forgiveness for his sins. The wrong has been righted. The principle has been sustained. Let Rabban Gamaliel once more wear the robe of the patriarch.
Joshua, what shall prevent him from doing again what he has done before?
Our vigilance, Akiba, and his goodness.
Yet if we reinstate him, Joshua...
Yes, Akiba.
How shall it be known in generations to come that the right of the people has been upheld?
The point is well taken. Let there then be a joint presidency. Let Gamaliel rule, that the people may know that there must be authority.
And Eliezer ben Azariah?
Let Eliezer ben Azariah, the youngest scholar, also rule, that the people may know it is also their common right and duty to limit the authority they bestow. And by this token, it shall be known that freedom is for those only who accept discipline. Freedom is for those only who resist oppression. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address and 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Arthur I. Levine, distinguished philanthropist of New York City.
We are living in times which try men's souls. Days in which history is being made before our very eyes, in places where there should be found justice, behold intolerance. As we look over the face of the globe, which seems to get close to us each day, we realize there are more worlds that must be conquered in the domain of the spirit than have ever been won in the realms of the flesh. Since time immemorial, the world has been animated by spiritual ideals. Men have toiled for freedom. Freedom of thought, freedom to worship God. But as we learn from the wisdom of the sages of the Talmud, so vividly portrayed in our broadcast today, such freedom must be predicated on the proposition that no man or any nation is a law unto itself. Liberty is not to be confused with license. Where does our duty lie today? Moses brought our people out of Egyptian bondage. We are to bring the people of the world out of every form of slavery. Oh, it is sweet to be able to give bread to the hungry, to bring water to thirsty lips and healing to the sick. But before God, I believe that it is more nobler, infinitely nobler, to bring freedom to struggling humanity and freedom to the soul in bondage. We must have faith in the basic laws of God. We must never surrender that faith. Today, more than ever before, we should realize that God is more than gold, and that the measure of man is not to be made by the yardstick of commerce. You may ask, what can one man do? I answer with a question, what has one man not done? In an age when the world was ruled by idolatry, one man, Abraham, left his father's house and monotheism was established. What can we do? Let us rise to the call of the poet whose famous lines are a challenge to the hope of the world. Come, O the fathers brave and free, if there breathe on earth a slave, are ye fully free and brave? If we do not feel the chain when it works a brother's pain, are ye not base slaves indeed, slaves unworthy to be freed? Is true freedom but to break fetters for our own dear sake, and with heaven hearts forget that we owe mankind a debt? No. True freedom is to share all the chains our brothers wear, and with hearts and hands to be earnest to make others free.
Thank you, Mr. Levine. Eternal Eye Drama today, A Measure of Freedom, was written by Mark Siegel and was presented in commemoration of the Festival of Shavuot, the anniversary of the giving of the law. Philip Barnuff was featured as Gamaliel and Norman Rose as Joshua. Edgar Staley was heard as Eliezer, Chester Stratton as Akiba, Joseph Boland as the witness, Delmar Nutzman as the attendant, and Donald Blake as Samuel the narrator. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Caton. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.